Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
When you turn around your lifestyle, being baptized into Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus said, I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. When you look at that word know right there, it means I never had a relationship with you. So we believe that every believer should repent, get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and most of all, have a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that we are preaching. I give you Jesus, and that's what we're here to do. Luke chapter 9, verse 38. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only son. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject. God's answer for a chaotic world. And you have to be both blind and dumb, deaf, not to realize that we are living in a chaotic world. You may be seated. Why is the world in this condition? And that's what people don't understand. Politicians don't have a clue why this world is in chaos. School shootings, cruel, senseless war, where thousands of people are being killed for no purpose, and the world is helpless to stop Mr. Putin from doing that. Just two examples of a deteriorating, demonic world. We're passing legislation. It's curious to me as they want to defund the police, and then they want to pass more laws. Why pass laws if you're defunding the police that would enforce those laws? That makes no sense. Passing a piece of legislation will not undo a generation of violent movies, violent video games, taking prayer out of schools, removing the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom, abortion on demand, euthanasia when people become old and inconvenient, refusing to enforce the rule of law, demeaning the police, calling for the defunding of those police. And in some cases, they're just saying, we don't want a police force. I don't want to live in San Antonio, Texas, not one day without a police force. But generally, just devaluating life itself. When you are aborting babies and you're euthanizing the elderly, you are devaluing life. You're saying life's not important. And so the generation comes up, places not the emphasis on life that prior generations has. Jesus defined this generation. He called it perverse and faithless. The only cure for a perverse generation and a faithless generation is a faith-filled church. Jesse Duplantis said, Steve, have you noticed how little faith is being preached in the church? And I did notice that. He said, young ministers are not preaching faith like we did. When you have a perverse generation and a faithless church, you have the whirlwind of a demon-dominated society, the 21st century. That's where we are. Those of you that are not sensitive just think it's just a little out of order. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is a demon-infested world we are living in. That's the reason why it's absolutely essential that you not only accept Christ, but get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and develop a life that keeps that spirit very active in your life, because there is demon activity that is trying to attack you and your family every day that you get up. And praise God, I don't know about you, but I can tell you for myself and for Sister Becky, we are covered with the blood. We rebuke the devil. The Holy Ghost flows out of us, and we live in a divine bubble that the Lord gives us. One of my doctors, a cardiac doctor, he's a great guy. All my doctors are Christians. But he said, He said, Pastor Steve, he said, I'm a real Christian, but he said, I'm not as strong as my wife. He said, I get up resisting the devil every day. He said, my wife gets up looking for him to give him a good beating before she gets her day started. Said she walks around the house rebuking the devil and praying. That's the way she starts her day. Said she beats the devil up every morning and said by the time she gets through, said he don't want nothing to do with her the rest of the day. That's the way we should be living. It's so easy to put blame on certain people. And we like to divide in groups so we can blame the other group. You know, if you're a Republican, you can blame the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, you can blame the Republicans. But let me tell you, as a preacher, I accept the blame. It's not Joe Biden's fault. It wasn't even Donald Trump's fault or George Bush or President Obama. I'll tell you whose fault it is. If all Christians had stood up with one voice, we would not have this dangerous, violent, unsafe society we have. It is a feckless Laodicean church that is to blame. We allowed them to take prayer out of schools. We allowed them to infiltrate this generation with violence and pornography, and we didn't do anything about it. And Hosea gave us the prophetic warning about it. He said, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a whirlwind. We're living in a whirlwind. The amount of death in this society is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we have become desensitized to just say, well, that's the way it is in life, and that's the way it is in America. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We have reaped the whirlwind. And the Bible said the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm and the clouds of the dust of his feet. Jesus Christ is going to have his way, but there's a lot of bloodshed in between now and when the will of God is performed on this earth. They said, and I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. We have a world that is out of control and a church that doesn't have the power to do anything about it. They could not. But Jesus defined it in two words, perverse and faithless. Perverse, willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired, contrary to all things godly. That's what it means to be perverse. And they were marching in the streets, and one of the signs and one of the placards I saw said, bring your Jesus Christ back and we will crucify him again. That's a perverse generation. That's where we are living. And faithless, without belief, not trusting, overwhelmed with doubt and fear. That is the generation that we are living in. But that can be rectified. It can be changed. The cure is an alignment with the life of God. Perverse, you want to be just as contrary to the life of God as they can. But the cure is to align yourself with the life of God. I've always been fascinated by this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And here's the verse. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's where we are. That's the whirlwind we're living in. We have now alienated ourselves from the life of God. I want to be a part of God's life. And so many people want to be separated from God, segregated from God. But I want to be a part of God's life, becoming faith-filled people, faith in three dimensions. We have to believe that he is the Alpha. What does that mean? He is the beginning. That's another problem that we are facing that created a whirlwind. When they took creation out of schools and began to teach evolution, it was the thing that started a downward spiral in this nation to where we have arrived. There is a creator. There is a divine architect. I remember my biology teacher, a woman, teaching me in Mooresville School. I don't know what kind of religion she was. I don't know whether, I just don't know what she was, but I remember this. She said, I'm too smart. I'm too intelligent. I've studied too much to believe that this just happened. She said, there had to be a divine architect somewhere. I don't think you can say that anymore in the public school without great scrutiny. But she said it in 1967. But that doesn't say, but we have to believe that he is the Alpha. That means the beginning, that all things started with God, that God is the creator. He created us as an image. That's where we have to start rebuilding. We're not going to fix America. We're not going to fix it with legislation by changing the people every 4 years in the White House. That's not going to fix it. The only thing that's going to fix it is when we, the grassroots, common people. The Bible said, and the common people heard him gladly. When we as one people rise up, whether we be Pentecostal or Catholic, Baptist or Methodist, we come back to our faith and say there is a creator, there is an author, there is a beginner, there is a beginning. There is somebody. His name now, as we know it, is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The Bible said there wasn't anything that was not created by Jesus Christ. He is the creator. So we have to say, I don't want to be a faithless generation. I certainly don't want to be perverse, but I don't want to be faithless. I want to have faith in God. It starts with not believing just there is some spirit. We've got to be able to identify God. Jesus Christ came to put a face on God. He came to be not just a Savior, but a personal Savior, that you would know what God was like. That he's a good God, he's a personal God, a kind God, a loving God, a forgiving God. But above all, he is our creator. Faith in three dimensions, that God is the creator. He is the author and he is the finisher. Also, we've got to realize that he is not only the Alpha, he is the Omega. That means that God is the finisher. He is the eternal judge. That if you are not saved, so many people do not understand. This is just one little nuance that's so important. It ought to make you jump for joy. But if you are not a Christian, and if you do not accept Christ, and you do not get covered with his blood, you are going to answer for every word, every deed, every thought. You don't have a chance. But if you're a Christian, you do not appear to the white throne judgment to be judged. You appear at the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. Because every bad thought you've ever had, every bad action you've ever committed, every bad word you've ever said, that was nailed, the Bible said, to the cross. And so praise God, you don't have to stand there and give an account of every mistake and failure you made. That's what it means to be redeemed. The Bible said some men's sins follow after them. That's the people that are not saved. But some men's sins go before them. All of my sins have been pushed ahead and been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as flawed as I am, and you might think you're not flawed. That's your biggest flaw, is not thinking you're flawed. As flawed as I am, in the sight of God, I am perfect. Because he views me not through my actions, words, deeds, thoughts. He views me through Christ's action. That's what it means to accept Christ as your Savior, as your substitute. And so if we are going to change this world, it doesn't start in the White House, the schoolhouse, or the state house. It starts in the church house. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to accept blame. This weak, anemic church that does not preach the gospel, that all they want to do is just fill pews and fill coffers, and they're very careful not to say anything that will be offensive. Christ is a rock of offense. Some of the gospel will offend your carnal nature. That's just the way it is. And the Bible said if we love the Lord, we won't be offended. We'll just quit being offended and say, it doesn't matter. I see there's a rough age in my, knock it off. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to be alienated. So we have to realize, number one, that God is the Alpha. He is the creator. Number two, he is the Omega. That means he is the final judge. And we have to realize that. We cannot just change it because we think that it's a good idea. We go by the rule book. The Bible is the rule book. And the third area of faith is that he is an ever-present help in the time of need. Ladies and you say, well, I have a hard time disciplining myself to be a real Christian. That's because you don't have faith. You might believe that he is the Alpha, and you might believe he is the Omega. But when you begin to realize that Christ is right there at your elbow, listening to every word, judging every deed, that you're hurting him, that you are throwing away the grace that he has given you, it will affect your behavior. I hear him say on Christian television that behavior has nothing to do with Christianity. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's the reason why we have the epistles. It's all about Christian behavior. We will never be perfect, but we should be striving to be more like Christ every day of our life. Mary and Martha were so much like them. When Lazarus died and Christ came, they said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. They had faith for the past. And he said, well, he's going to live again. They said, oh, we know he'll live again in the resurrection. They had faith for the future. But that ever-present faith they didn't have, that Jesus is here, and because he's here, everything has changed. Ladies and gentlemen, he does not just want to be your friend that sticketh closer than a brother when you die. He wants to be your 24-hour companion. It shapes everything you are and everything you say. That's the only thing that can bring peace to this chaotic world. We live in a world that is totally chaotic, and they keep trying to pass laws that are going to change it. We cannot pass enough laws in America. As long as the heart of man is deceitfully wicked, we're going to have school shootings, we're going to have church shootings, we're going to have racism, we're going to have bigotry, we're going to have all kinds of crimes that are despicable. We have to start at the core, and the score starts at the human heart, and nobody deals with the human heart. Congress doesn't deal with the human heart. The public school system doesn't deal with the human heart. The only entity in the world is the church of the living God. We've got to stand up and become the church. There's a written guarantee. God guarantees the church. If we will be the church, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We've got to become the church of the living God, the real church. The real church, not a make-believe church, but a real church. I am concerned that people are not transformed. I'm old enough to know and remember that people were transformed when they came to Christ. I knew people in our neighborhood, and they were sorry people. But when they got saved, Gloria, they were different. They were transformed. But now people get saved, and there's absolutely no change in their life. The divorce rate in the church is higher than the divorce rate in the world. You know, that's just a little bit higher. Over one out of two marriages is going to fail, and it's worse in the church. We are not the transformed people that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be transformed, changed, not conformed to this world. We need the power of the living God. It's not enough to just build a Fortune 500 church with a lot of people and a lot of assets and a lot of activities. We need the church of the living God, where people are transformed and changed. And when they go back, they do not abuse their children. They don't abuse their wife. They do not indulge in alcoholism and drug addiction. And you don't see them on the late night news. They are a changed, transformed people. The only hope for this world is a realignment to the life of God, because God's life is great. I'll tell you what God has got the advantage on. God's life is eternal. You know, when I was a young boy, this verse didn't mean that much to me. But it's one of my favorite verses now is, and time shall be no more. When I was 7 years old, time was my friend. I was getting older, and Christmas was starting to come around more. And then when I got 16, oh, man, time was great, because now I got driver's license and I got a car. Time was my friend. I don't know when it happened to me, but somewhere that thing called time, which was my dear friend, became my mortal enemy. I hate time because it's running out for me. And I don't want it to run out for me. That's the reason why old people hate change. It is a reflection that time is running out in their life. But when you talk about aligning yourself with the life of God, and time shall be no more, I could not deal with this old age. That's the reason why there's a suicide epidemic. People can't deal with life, because life without God is simply something that is unmanageable. You see too much heartache, too much pain, too much grief. And you work all of your life, and finally you've got your house and your car, and you got a little money, and you're not about to be evicted every week. And then you realize, but I'm old. And now you're depressed by that. And so people commit suicide. Young people commit suicide because they can't get it. Old people commit suicide because they can't keep it. But friend, when you find God, when you align yourself with the life of God, your life changes immediately because you realize, now I'm like God. Time shall be no more. I am literally going to live forever. You really believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, I do. I do. It does not yet appear what I shall be, but I shall be changed. I shall be like Him. I'm going to live forever. And when you understand that, it takes all of that anxiety out of your brain. Praise God. And so align yourself with the life of God. Number one, it's eternal. And number two, you're going to be free from hate. You're going to be free from pain. You're going to be free from everything that is negative. There is no negativity in God. There is no fear in God. There is no pain in the life of God. And you are going to embrace everything that God embraces, which is peace. As much as man strives after peace, the Bible said he'll say, peace, peace, and then shall destruction shall come. As man seeks after peace, it evades him. He just can't get a handle on it. But when you align yourself with the power of God, you're no longer a perverse generation. You get the peace of God no matter what's going on. The only thing I do is now I look at the world and I have compassion for them that they don't have the peace that I have. Because in a world that is in total chaos, God has given me what the Bible defines as perfect peace. Perfect peace. And so now it's not about my peace. It's just trying to help somebody else find the peace that I have. The peace that only God can give. And the joy, I've lived long enough and acquired long enough to realize that nothing satisfies me. I've been through everything. When I was a kid, I thought once I get a car, I'll be totally happy. I got a car. I wanted a better car. I got that car. I wanted a better car. And even as a man, I thought if I get this real estate and I get this house and I get this ranch, it'll satisfy me. But I lived long enough to realize that none of that brought me joy. That the only thing that brings me joy is my alignment and my perfection and my oneness with God, and say, Lord, I want to help other people. That's all I'm doing, is trying to help other people find what I've found. I've found the joy of Jesus. I've found the love of Jesus. It's impossible for me to hate somebody because of their color. But if you're not saved, it's very easy for you to hate somebody because of your color, because that's the way the old human corrupt heart works. You just hate. You're just a hater. It's there. But if you get your heart washed with Jesus Christ, you won't care about the pigmentation of somebody's skin. You won't care about any of that. And I don't have hatred for people that are Muslims or people that are Hindu or people. I just have love for them and say, I hope that somehow that they can find the truth and know what I do, because it has literally set me apart. I've aligned myself with the life of God, and God's life is good and getting better. God's life is big and expanding all the time. But if you are aligned with God, that's the way it is. But if you are perverse from God and you hate God, and I saw them carrying signs that said, blank the Bible yesterday. They were carrying signs all over our nation saying that. Those are people that are perverse. They're miserable, miserable people. Do you hate those people? No, my heart breaks for them. I have compassion for them because they're filled with hatred and they're filled with misery, and it's only going to get worse unless they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for this chaotic world. It doesn't matter. You say, well, Biden's not get it done. It's costing me too much. Bread's too high. Gas is too high. We got that problem. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have a man in America that's going to sit in the White House and fix this country. It's simply not going to happen. There's going to come a false prophet. There's going to come an antichrist that make people think he is, but that's even going to be worse in its delusion. The only thing that can save America is the church of the living God. Living Way Church has got to get on fire. We've got to align ourselves with God, and we've got to be filled with the power of the living God. The Catholic Church has got to be aligned with God and filled with God. The Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Christians must rise up and say, we want to align ourselves with the life of God, and we want to be filled with faith. We want to be filled with faith. People not in God's life are not and will never be happy. To return to faith in God as creator, provider, and redeemer, that's our only hope. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say, I'm not proud, but I am grateful. I've been kicked around, knocked around by the world, by the devil, by the church, by other people. And I stand up to tell you that my faith has never been stronger. I've never been happier. I've never been more complete in God. Rise up and say, I will not be a part of this. And like the man's son was throwing himself in the fire and throwing himself in the water, the Bible said. In other words, he was suicidal. We're living in a suicidal generation, and they don't know where to look. They've looked everywhere, and it hasn't been there. They've even looked to the church, and it was not there, because the church is void of power and empty of faith. It's time for the church of the living God to shake herself, revive herself. You've got to get on such fire that your mother-in-law knows that you have the answer, that your father-in-law knows, that your children, that your grandchildren, that your friends, that your family, that your co-workers know that there is a hope and there is a help and there is a place, and it's in Jesus Christ. And the church of the living God is really his bride, that's filled with the love of God and the power of God, a place where there is no racism, no hatred, no bigotry. We are one in Christ. We love one another. We're filled with the power of Jesus Christ. And just coming to church is not enough. You've got to get in Christ. Get in Christ. Get Christ in you. Become a transformed Christian. I'm hung up in my prayer. I'm hung up in my preaching and my thought that the church has to be transformed. We have to be transformed. We cannot be like the Gentiles. We are a called out, separate people. Stand on your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am so concerned about my generation and my world.